Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That, Lord, when we are weak, you are strong. That, Lord, you love to come into our lives no matter how broken and busted they are, God. Lord, you're a genius at working things out that only you can. Lord, you're the one who restores. You're the one who redeems. You're the one, God, who breaks in to our world and says, how can I help you? How can I serve you? I'm reminded this morning as we were worshiping that time that Jesus came and he was washing his disciples' feet. And Peter, who always had such a brazen attitude, he said, Lord, don't wash me. And Jesus, you said, I have to wash you. And then Peter said, well, then wash all of me. And Jesus said, no, I just need to wash your feet. And what is so evident about that part of Scripture is that so many times we first of all feel so unworthy of God even coming and washing us. Lord, you would be that servant that would come and wash us and tend to our needs. And then we say, well, Lord, while you're at it, God, why don't you wash all of me? And Lord, you would even say to us, you've already been cleansed. It's just where your feet have been walking that need to be cleansed. And then you take the outer garment off and you bend down and you begin to wash our feet. And so, Lord, wherever we've been this week, whatever we've been doing, whatever we've been busy with, that we have looked to that more than you, then, God, your mercies are new. And we just sit down and we hear you say, would you just let me wash your feet? And as we humble ourselves before you and allow a loving God to wash where we've been this week, God, I pray that we would be encouraged and strengthened, and that we would know, Lord, that you are the one who, in all your awesomeness and greatness, are the one who comes and washes us. How incredible that is. Lord, I pray that you would wash our hearts today, cleanse our minds. Lord, that you would see the part of us that has been dirtied by the world and culture and our own self, our selfishness, and we would say, Lord, would you just come and wash me afresh and anew? As David wrote, cleanse my heart, God. I pray, Lord, for a cleansing of our hearts today. Let it begin with the word. Let it begin, God, as we come around the table, the banqueting table of your word today. I pray that we would leave encouraged and blessed and knowing that you see us right where we're at. You know exactly where we're at, God. Lord, we don't have to hide from you. We don't have to act a certain way. We don't have to put a mask on or pretend. Lord, you know exactly where we're at. And Father, I pray that we would understand that when you see us, you don't look at us in a way that would bring judgment and fear and worry, but Lord, you look at us with loving eyes. For you said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, I pray that we would find rest in your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen. Fred, you can play that guitar the whole time I'm preaching, and I'd be fine with that. It's very soothing, isn't it? If you have a Bible, I'd like for you to go. We're going to be in John this morning, John chapter 5, and then John chapter 9 this morning. And I pray that God would open our eyes to see what he wants us to see in his word. Amen? These are two very familiar passages. And so we're going to be in John 5, 1, and then John 9, 1. And I pray that this blesses you. This is going to be a simple message, but one that I hope just gets us right where we need it to get. All right? John 5:1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps in before me. Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. What an incredible window of how Jesus is interacting with this man. And if you have heard messages from these, there's just a plethora of messages that come out of these verses. But the longer I'm here, the more it's going to get ingrained in you to read your Bible slowly. Thank you. I got a gold star for you under your chair, and you win a free bagel in the back. So read your Bible slowly. And so this morning, if I would have a title on the message, it would be, He Saw and He Knew. He saw and he knew. I don't know about you, but there are times that I wrestle with God. And I ask God multiple times throughout my relationship or walk with God, which I've been saved since I was 5 years old, lived in a Christian home, but none of that always counts, right? We could say, oh, I was this and that, but are you really walking with God? Maybe you've heard the old story that going to church doesn't make you a Christian, just like going to a garage doesn't make you a car. Like, there has to be a relationship with God every single day, that we spend time with him, we talk with him, we are in his word, all these things. And yet, the longer you serve God and you see how life pans out, you wonder, God, do you really see what's going on? Have you ever felt unseen by your family or by your loved one or spouse or maybe your kids, or you just feel like people take it you for granted or taken advantage of, or you're not really seen? I think it is something that we, as a culture, as a society, we always want to be seen. And some people take it all the way to the way they dress, that they dress a certain way to get it, to have panache and to have people that, they stand out because of what they wear. Maybe people act a certain way because they want that attention just by the way they act. There's all kinds of things that we do, subtly or, out there that we want to be seen. And maybe you're the opposite, that you don't want anybody to see you and you're fine with that. But there's always this thing that whether you've been, in a relationship or something, that you just want somebody to take notice of you and to see that you did the dishes or to acknowledge that you did this or just the acknowledgement that you are being seen. You follow me? I think it is in all of us that we want to be seen. And that can go in all kinds of ways. But when we look at this passage and in chapter 9 as well, there's something very powerful that as I was reading this, I took notice in that we get this backstory, and I've been here a couple of times to the Pool of Bethesda and how incredible it is, and just imagining, all these people laying around who are blind and lame and paralyzed and all these things that Scripture talks about here. And there was a superstitious kind of notion, and other versions add on, tag onto it. But basically, the thinking was that while you're there, blind, deaf, lame, whatever, and that somehow the waters would begin to ripple And if they rippled and you caught that, you could jump into that pool and somehow that pool would make you healed, make you whole. And it was a very superstitious thing that, you know, when you were at the right place at the right time, you might get a touch and be healed and be whole. And so this guy is here for a long time. We're not sure how long he's at the pool, but he is an invalid. He's paralyzed probably all his life. I mean, 38 years, a long time. And he's at this pool with this thinking that if he's at the right place at the right time and he sees the waters moving, that he'll jump in and hopefully he'll get healed. And you might think, well, that's kind of strange, isn't it? But we may not do that, but we do something that we think that if we're at the right place at the right time, that we'll get what we need, or we'll get healed or whole, or we'll hear something that we need to hear, or all these things that we can kind of understand what this guy is doing. And here, he's at this pool, and he's in this notion that if he sees the waters rippling, he sees all this happening, he'll jump in and maybe he'll be healed. And then all of a sudden comes Jesus. Verse 6 is so profound because he says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time. Just think about that for a moment. Think about how long he had been at that pool waiting for the waters to ripple for him to jump in. Think about just the longevity of being in this shape of being an invalid, being paralyzed, whatever it was. And that there was a long, long-term thinking, feeling, state of being that he wondered, is this ever going to change? And if you think and put yourself into this man's shoes, we've done the same. Lord, how long is this going to take? How long am I going to be in this situation? How long is this going to keep on, keeping on, that no change? And I've been where I thought there would be change, and there's no change, whether I went and got this that I thought would radically change my life. And obviously, it just always in the same boat over and over and over again, year after year. When is it going to happen? Ever been there? You just wonder, God, when? Maybe everything is going smooth in your life. Well, I would say raise your hand, bend your elbow, and pat yourself on the back, because life is not easy, is it? It's very difficult, and it has a lot of things that we wonder, when is there going to be change? When are things going to shift? When are things going to happen? Whether in my good or a breakthrough or whatever. God, when? And we end up in a very dangerous place, like this guy was, of a lot of self-pity. I think one of the things that we can help us in our time of private confession is thinking about things that we may not be thinking about. Oftentimes, we can be very selfish in our pity, and the woe is me, and why me? And when is this going to change? And when is this going to happen? And why am I having to deal with this over and over and over again? You know, to fault, we can be very selfish in just wondering, when is this going to change? When am I going to get out of this? And the self-pity and the loathing and the depression and all these places can get us to a place where we look more at our problem instead of our provider. We can look more at you know, why am I in this situation over and over and over again, instead of looking at a God who at one word can change the whole situation. This guy was 38 years as an invalid, a long time waiting for the waters to ripple, for him to jump in, for him to be made whole. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. If you think about your past, you know, and you think about your time in BC era, before Christ era, where things weren't always going right and you were having challenges and problems in your life, and not that when you become a Christian that you become, you know, absolutely problem-free and that life doesn't become a bed of roses, but there is a shift, isn't there? Or there ought to be. That you can look at your life prior to Christ and you could say, man, it was about to be a train wreck. I was going nowhere fast. Things were happening because of the consequences of the choices that I was making, because of the sin that I was living in. But then all of a sudden, one day, Jesus showed up. So many times I think in churches and in preaching messages that you hear online and so forth, people hardly talk about Jesus anymore. But we need to be hearing about him every day. Learning his ways, learning how he spoke, learning how he interacted, learning how he healed and touched, and, well, learning how he died and rose again. It's all about Jesus. And so many times we hear messages from the pulpit that are feel-good messages, and we all want to feel good, but the reality is that we could be just like this invalid, full of self-pity and shame because, well, everybody else was jumping in, and I never got what everybody else got. I tried, but, well, they got in first. You know, all the excuses that we could make for not getting a breakthrough in our life, for not seeing change, that we can become so selfish about why aren't things happening. But then all of a sudden, Jesus walks in. Aren't you glad for Jesus? I mean, I don't want to just be standing here behind this saying something. I want to be the evidence that God in my life is all that I need. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to just stand up here and say some words and we all eat bagels and go home. I want this to be a life-changing event every week that we come and we hear the word of God and we're reminded again and again by his word that if we are not careful, we can fall into the same place where this man was, complaining that his life never changes and woe is me and what am I going to do, and not realizing the power of one encounter with Jesus. And if that wasn't all that, you know, would be the message about, you know, I would close my Bible and say amen. Because all we need is one encounter with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus saw him. And as I was saying before, that so many times we feel in life unseen. We feel like these are my little problems or my world. And why would God care? And what would God say about, you know, it's just me, myself, and I, right? But then when we hear verse 6, we understand that we serve a God who sees us. What a powerful thing that is to know that no matter what I'm going through, God sees. That when I feel like I'm all alone, God sees. When I feel like I'm doing things for others and no one appreciates or nobody acknowledges, God sees. When I am lost and confused and wondering what is going to happen next, God sees. When I'm looking at the world around me and I'm perplexed and confused at what's going to happen next, God sees. When I'm wondering, you know, does my little world even count? Does it matter? God sees. Because God knows all things. God sees all things. And it goes deeper that he not only sees, but he also knows. And I think that is such an incredible thing that God is not just superficial about this whole exchange of him seeing this man who was there, an invalid, for such a long term, that God not only saw him, but he also knew. Man, if we would allow this to go deep into our spirits, we would understand that God not only sees who I am and where I'm at and why I'm going through what I'm going through, but it says here, He also knew that he'd been there for a long time. I mean, it's really a powerful thing when we see that, and I want to just encourage you today that no matter what you're going through, that God sees it, not only superficially, that he can see it, but he also goes deeper and he says, I know. What do you mean you know, God? How do you know that A plus B doesn't always equal 4? Right? That I got into this situation that I'm in because this happened and that happened, and why is this going on? Well, God doesn't just see where you're at, he also knows how you got there. And then we'll see in chapter 9 that it's not just how you got there, but that God wants to get something out of how you got there and what he sees. I hope this is making sense to you today. Because when we understand the character of God, that he is a loving God, he is a caring God, that he knows what he's doing, even though I don't understand all that's going on in my life and wondering what's happening and what's going to happen next, I have to turn back to his word to understand with clarity that God not only sees, but he also knows. And his knowing is part of his understanding. And out of his understanding, we can also get a window and look into why this is happening. So to continue this, he says here that he not only saw him lying there, but he also knew that he had been there for a long time. And then Jesus asks him, do you really want to be healed? And he complains, well, you know, I have nobody to help me to get into the pool when the water is shifting around and I can't get in. And he goes about this whole thing, and we do the same thing, don't we? Jesus can show up and can say, look, I'm here, can I help you? You know, you want what you're asking for? And we could say, yeah, but Lord, you don't know this and that. You know, it's not happening the way I thought it would. And Jesus just shuts it all down. He says, do you really want to be healed? God sees, God knows. Then if you go to John chapter 9, we get another incredible story about the Lord seeing somebody who was blind. This also is an incredible story. They're all incredible, right? But chapter 9, verse 1 says, and he passed by and he saw a blind man, a man blind from what? From birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So again, we see in this passage, among many others, if you look up just that term, he saw, it's all over Scripture. But in these two examples here, we find that this man who was born blind, who I'm sure thought the exact thing that the invalid did in chapter 5, does anybody care? Does anybody understand what I'm going through? How I got here? And we get this snippet that Jesus passed by and he saw the man blind from birth, and then all of a sudden this conversation comes with his disciples. Whose fault is it? Well, Jesus had an answer. He said it wasn't because he sinned or his parents sinned. It was actually so that I would be glorified. That even goes deeper into the state of we are as people, of where we're at, whether we may be, you know, spiritually blind, or we feel like we're far from God, or we're in this place that, man, why isn't there any breakthrough in my life? Or why isn't there anything changing or happening or growing? It's just the same old, and we wonder, God, are you there? God, do you care? God, do you see me? God, do you know what I'm going through, what I'm battling with? And we can turn to these two incredible stories in Scripture, and we find that Jesus not only saw, but he also knew the invalid and why and how long and all of the things that build up to this moment in time. That we go further into chapter 9, that he saw this man who was blind from birth, and then all of a sudden everybody's asking him, whose fault is that? Have you ever wondered, am I in the situation that I'm in because it's my fault or their fault? Or did it happen because of this didn't line up the way I thought it would? Or all the things that we try to say, well, maybe I'm going through this because of that. And oftentimes they are connected. But in this story, Jesus says it wasn't because he sinned or his parents sinned. It was for even a greater purpose, so that I would be glorified. Let me read this out of some other versions. The New Living Translation, the NLT from John 9:3 says, so that the power of God could be seen. The Passion Translation, which is a, you know, not really a translation, but, you know, a great Bible to read. Not really a real translation, but it says, so that you could watch him experience God's miracle. The King James Version says that the works of God should be manifest in him. Listen to those three things again. So that the power of God could be seen. So that you could watch him experience God's miracle. And so that the works of God should be manifest in him. There's a deeper reason why things are going what seemingly may be awry, or a challenge that we face, or something that we just don't understand, and we wonder, God, how long? How much longer am I going to have to fight this battle? How much longer are my kids going to have to go through this that is painful and challenging and difficult? God, do you see? God, do you know? And we can lift up our hands and say, God, you're in control. I don't always understand the things that I see and the challenges I face, but at the end of it all, God, do it so that your power could be seen. God, do it so that other people could experience your miracle-working power in my life. God, do it so that the works of God would be manifest in me, because I don't know about you, but I want a miracle happening in my life. I want God to do something so miraculous in my life that nobody could say it was by your power or by your will or by your knowledge or by your education. No, it is not by might nor by power, but by his Holy Spirit. Amen. That God did something so great in me that I don't know why this is happening all along. I don't know why the darkness and the oppression and the depression and the anxiety and the pain and the fear or the handicap or being spiritually blind or being lame or all these things. And yet when I come back to the touchstone that the Word of God is, that I can turn back to the Word and I can say, well, God, you're doing something so that your miraculous power could be seen. God, you're doing something that I don't get right now, but one day it's going to be clear that you are working great and marvelous things in the midst. Because out of this dark thing that was happening and you know, in all reality, I mean, being blind is nothing but darkness. But out of this darkness, Jesus says, then I am in the world, and I am the light of the world. But I want to not change that verse, but personalize that verse by saying that when this man was literally blind and dark, Jesus says, I am the light of his world. I am the light of your world. That you may be asking God, why is this happening? Or how long will this take? That we can hear the Lord's voice say, I am the light of your world. I will come in and break through no matter what you're going through.
And we could say, well, God, it's because of this and that and their fault and that happened. And then Jesus could just show up and say, I'm the light of your world. You may have not understood right now, but God is working. I said, God is working. I said, God is working. And I love this verse that is very interesting in the context of this blind man and this lame man and the miracles that Jesus performed, that even John said he did so much that it would fill volumes and volumes of books. These two miracles are extraordinary among all of them. But what is also crazy is that it's actually foreshadowed from Exodus chapter 4:11. If you remember the dialogue between God and Moses, and God was choosing Moses to let his people go. Remember that? Yeah. And all Moses was doing was making excuse after excuse because Moses was born with a speech impediment. And God was calling him to speak to Pharaoh and to lead God's people, millions of people. And Moses said, but God, do you know, God, I can't. Don't you know that And then God says in Exodus 4:11, then the Lord said to him, Moses, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? What? I mean, it wasn't, you know, genetics, or it wasn't their fault, or no. It was me all along. If that doesn't blow your mind, that God makes blind people, God makes paralyzed people, yeah, He's good at that. He's good at making things that, well, you would think they have no value, become the most valuable thing in His eyes. That we look down at certain people because they have a certain, quote, handicap when, well, that's how God made them to be. Precious in the sight of Him who made it. That God wove him intricately in the darkness, Scripture says, Psalm 139. Woven in the womb, woven in darkness. So God was lambasting Moses by saying, there is no excuse that you would try to conjure up, because I'm God. And I made you just the way I wanted you to be. And I'm the master of all things. And I'm the Lord. And I did it. And there's no one above me. And I have my ways about me. And all you got to do is keep your eyes on me and understand that there will be a day that will come that we will see the manifest glory of God. We will see Him that totally without a veil, or as Paul experienced, having all the shackles removed from his eyes, to actually see that God was working all along. I hope this encourages you to understand that no matter what condition we might be in, whether it's a loss of life or a challenging marriage or, you know, a situation that it just seems so overwhelming, I want to tell you that God sees, God knows, and God has a plan. And His plan is good, because He will be glorified in and through every single thing. He will be glorified in it. And I may not understand, how could God get glory out of this? There's a great friend of mine who I would love to have come and preach for you one day. He's written a series of books. He has researched scripture where we have different titles to God, like Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, all these names. But he has researched Scripture, and he has found that there's over 1,000 names that God calls us, like the Shulamite bride and the palm tree and the apple of his eye and all these incredible titles that God has given us. It's incredible. But I heard him say one time that when God was creating and all these things that he said, you know, let there be light and all these things, and then he created Adam. Have you ever noticed that God did not create Adam out of dirt? He says he didn't make him out of dirt because dirt still has properties within itself, like nutrients and things that can grow out of dirt. But God created Adam out of ash that has no value at all. Because God can take things that seemingly look like they have absolutely no value at all and say, I'm God. I can do anything I want to do. I can make beauty out of ashes. I can make things that seem like you have been an invalid or you have been blind or you've been lame for so many years. That's who our God is, that he can take anything. He can take a curse and turn it into a blessing. He can take ash and make it cause life. He can make things that seem to be just so overwhelming that, God, where are you? And he could say, I'm right here. And aren't you glad that this is our God? I, the Lord, am doing it. Amen.